Hello, Dick. How are you?
Gentlemen, doing well.
It's pretty much the only time of the year we talk college basketball, March Madness. And from what I can see, there's been some massive upsets, Dick. So tell us, who are we betting on as we get towards, what are we, at the Sweet 16 stage?
We are at the Sweet 16, 16 teams left. The games resume our time Thursday afternoon. And, you know, I think the two top-seeded teams going in, Alabama and Houston, I do feel like they are at a level unlike any other team in college basketball. So I'm going to stick with that championship game. You're not going to get any good odds, though, betting those teams because they were the two favorites coming in. We have seen a lot of parity, and that's not just this season. I mean, that's really been the last 10 or 15 years, and particularly the last three or four since we've had the transfer portal, which means players can play on one team 1 year and transfer without penalty to another team the very next year. The rules that used to be in place forever and ever and ever were that if you were to transfer, you sacrificed a year of eligibility. So there were far fewer transfers, and really the transfers came in only, you know, hardship cases where, you know, the person was just, you know, just not in the right place. Well, now college athletics, guys, is like free agency in the NFL, where you're a free agent. Everybody's on a 1 year contract. So there's transfers everywhere. So what happens is you get some of these players that are on these big time colleges, and they're maybe not getting as much playing time as they want to get. So what do? They transfer down to a smaller school where they get all the time they want. They're the stars, and they elevate the smaller schools up towards the level of the bigger schools, and we're getting a lot of parity right now in college basketball.
Okay, let's go to the NBA then. Roughly 10 games left for clubs before the playoffs. Still trying to figure out what's going on in the Western Conference, Dick. And the Lakers at the moment just outside the play-in. So we'll be watching them closely. But even Golden State, where are they at? Phoenix with no Durant. How's it all going to play out in the West?
Golden State won a road game, guys. How about that? It's only their eighth road win of the season. I mean, I can't believe this. I have never seen this. And this has got to be unprecedented in NBA history. I haven't checked it out, but it's got to be unprecedented that a team goes 29-7 at home and 8-29 on the road.
He's incredible. And,
I mean, that is just, they're two completely different teams on the road than they are at home. Golden State's safe. I would be stunned if Golden State didn't make the playoffs. The Lakers are hanging right there. And, you know, with the injury to Edwards for the Timberwolves, you know, that could potentially give them some problems. They might not be able to sneak in. So I think what the NBA wants, they want Golden State, they want Los Angeles, and if you could potentially get a matchup between those two teams, maybe in a play-in situation, a 7-10 play-in situation, can you imagine the ratings of a 7-seed Golden State against the 10-seed Los Angeles Lakers with LeBron James back in the play-in game? I mean, that's what the NBA is hoping for right now. But to make sense of it, guys, you really can't. I mean, every one of these teams has had significant issues, either off the floor, like Ja Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies, like LeBron James with his injuries, like Anthony Davis with his injuries, with the Golden State Warriors have got issues off the floor as well, or just with inconsistent play. I mean, look at the Denver Nuggets. I mean, the Nuggets have been basically the number one seed all the way through. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games, and you have to ask yourself, is that really an issue with Denver, or are they kind of bored right now? Are they kind of playing out the string and knowing they have a 3.5-game lead, and they're kind of resting up for the playoffs? That could be the situation with Denver, because I would be shocked at this point. It doesn't look like anybody's playing well enough to catch Denver in the Western Conference for the one seed.
Dick, do we know how far away LeBron is?
It's been really mum, guys, but, you know, when we talked about it a few weeks ago, I was anticipating a couple of weeks, and it's been much longer than that. Now, I guess if you're the Lakers and you're still hanging within a game, right, and they are within a half a game of the eighth spot, they're within one game of the seventh spot. So I guess the Lakers are, you know, they're risking it here, but they're saying, all right, let's see how long we can stay right there within a game until we have to bring LeBron back. Because the longer he rests, the better he's going to be in the playoffs. The longer he rests, the more healthy he's going to be, obviously at the risk of them not making the play-in game altogether. So as soon as they start to slip, if they do start to slip, I think you will see LeBron James back.
What's the latest with the NFL, Dick, and in particular Aaron Rodgers?
Oh, man. Aaron Rodgers is one of the most unique. Some would say the euphemism is unique. The naysayers would say irritating quarterbacks that we've seen in recent times. And he went on his pet podcast last week, and that's really all we ever hear from Aaron Rodgers. He goes on the Pat McAfee show. It was a buddy of his, a former NFL player, and he pontificates on a weekly basis. Well, he was off of that for a while when this whole thing was going down, and he came on, and it was, I got to be honest with you, it was a very entertaining, like 45-minute interview, which he just laid it all out there. And what was interesting about it was he said that you can choose to believe him or not, but he said that he was 90% convinced when he went into his cave of darkness for 4 days, he was 90% convinced he was going to retire from the NFL. And then when he came out, and he heard, he claims that all of a sudden now that they don't want me anymore. And so I'm going to, stick it to them and try to force a trade. And that's what he's attempting to do. And now it's just a matter of the Jets and the Packers getting trade compensation for Aaron Rodgers.
Dick, just on that, because a lot of people see him as being sort of weird and a bit aloof and all about himself. And we know how great a quarterback he is. Does that put teams off in terms of getting someone into your organization and the chemistry mightn't be right?
I don't think so, because teams are so desperate for quarterbacks. And they are always – and teams are also very arrogant, and I'm sure that happens in your leagues as well. Like every general manager and every head coach says, well, I can fix this guy, yeah. Right? I mean, if he just comes in here to our situation – we'll take care of him. So it's a little combination of both. That arrogance of, general managers and presidents and head coaches, and how desperate teams are for quarterbacks. And the Jets feel like they've got a playoff caliber team if they just had a quarterback. I believe they have a playoff caliber team with Aaron Rodgers. I don't think they have a Super Bowl caliber team with Aaron Rodgers. So that makes it a little bit interesting. Do you really want to bring Aaron Rodgers in for what? A couple of years, give up a first-round draft pick, maybe a later-round draft pick in 2024, bring him in, have him play for 2 years when you're not going to make the Super Bowl. Now, if they were in the NFC, I might have a different opinion. But look at the quarterbacks in the NFC compared to the quarterbacks in the AFC. To get to the Super Bowl, Aaron Rodgers would have to beat Patrick Mahomes. He would have to beat Josh Allen. He would have to beat Justin Herbert. He would have to beat Joe Burrow. The list goes on and on and on. The AFC is a nightmare, and which is interesting why Aaron Rodgers would want to jump ship from the NFC, which is an eminently winnable conference, to the AFC, which is not a winnable conference at all, unless you have a guy named Mahomes or a guy named Burrow leading your team.
This is in from one of our listeners, Dick. The fact that, morning boys, the Cowboys releasing Zeke Elliott is pretty big. What's Dick's thoughts?
Yeah, unfortunately, Zeke was done. I mean, Zeke's time in the sun had come and gone. He was, the running back position, and I honestly feel like we need to have a change in the collective bargaining agreement, because I feel like running backs are unfairly treated in the financial scale. Because if you're a first-round running back or a first-round draft pick like Zeke was, the team holds your rights for 5 years. And really, the first 4 years, you don't make a ton of money. You do make good money the fifth year, and then they could franchise you. And the running back franchise tag is as low as it is for any position. Well, the problem for running backs is it's like a rugby game for those guys, right? It's like a rugby match. They are getting hammered every time they touch the ball. Unlike wide receivers, unlike tight ends, unlike quarterbacks who are not getting killed every time they touch the ball. Well, a 27-year-old running back is ancient, whereas a 27-year-old wide receiver, a 27-year-old quarterback, they've got, wide receiver's good until he's 31, 32 years old. A quarterback we're seeing is good until he's 35 to 40 years old. You get to be 27 and you have a lot of carries, you're pretty much done. And it shows in Zeke Elliott's performance recently.
Just finally, Dick, the WGC match play. Have you got a tip for us?
Boy, this is really interesting, guys. I mean, you got to take a look at who's been good in match play. You also have to take a look at who's been good at this course. Scotty Scheffler is hot. He should repeat. I mean, he should be considered the favorite, but I'm not going to put any money on the favorite because you're not going to get make any money that way, right? So let me give you some. I don't have any dark horses, but I do like a couple guys who've been playing very, very well recently. How about our guy Jason Day, who has consistently been good? He's been good on this track. He's been good in match play. Tyrrell Hatton as well has just been waiting in the wings after having an unbelievable Sunday a couple of weeks ago. So those are a couple guys a little bit down the board that also have some fairly decent matchups. I'll throw one more at you, Tony Finau. He's a guy that I think is going to be ready to pop this spring as well. So there's really no safe bet when you're dealing with a bracket like this. So I'd kind of stay away from the top three or four guys because I just don't think the value is there in a match play situation.
Okay, for our listeners, with Tab, Hatton, Finau, Jason Day, all $26. Mate, you have a great week. Thank you.
All right, boys. Talk to you next week.